Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes. Come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome to this week's episode of Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matt Peverell, joined by my co-host as always, Marky D, Marky Davison. Mate, how you doing? And don't tell me about the rainy, dreary weather. I want you to see
positivity. I'm not too bad. You know, Lamar Jackson just ran off 100 yards on us. He's thrown for three TDs, you know, the last game versus Steelers. Hollywood Brown went 150 yards receiving. You know, Patrick Queen got two sacks in an interception against the Steelers.
Is that the last game they played? Is that the game that they just played?
No, it feels like it's this game. Are you joking? Oh, my. It's not over yet, people.
Mate, we're live from the future, but we're not that far in the future.
It feels like this week, everyone thinks this. We're going to lose and the season's over. And I had to address that because it's crazy and I can't stand it. Hello, my name's Mark Davis, and welcome to Behind the Steel Curtain.
what a classic. And we've got Irvin in the live chat as well, first one in. So congrats, Irvin, there. Yeah, and I think, you know what else is a travesty? I couldn't find a Steelers Christmas song. I thought someone would have written a Steelers Here We Go right by now.
Yeah, well, you know, Christmas is still a few days away, mate. Same as the Ravens game. We don't know. Maybe in that time, maybe a Christmas song might come out, but we don't know the result yet. So just calm down, mate. Calm down.
So, Mark, it sounds like you're pretty frustrated. It sounds like you're pretty frustrated with some of the fan base out there. But before we get into that, some news. Steelers have activated Carlos Davis, Chaz Green as well. Good to see Carlos Davis back out of that reserve injured list. And then also TJ Watt, I believe, is now in the game. So that is going to be very, very helpful for us. But I'm interested to see, like, you know, I think Haywood was still potentially out with an illness that wasn't COVID. So I don't know whether, I think he's got one more day to prove himself, but not sure what's happening there as well. And I think we're still looking like Hayden's going to be out as well. I haven't seen the latest update on that one. Not sure if you know, Mark, about Hayden.
I believe Hayden is out. I checked the injury report today or this morning, and even it says now, it says game status out. So I have to go with what the Steelers say from their actual website. Joe Hayden seems to be out. He's another key piece for this defense that will be missed. And we can't play like we did, you know, versus the Bengals. I know that was a horrible game and we let up so many yards. So, yeah, for this Ravens game, it's not good for us. I see what everyone sees. Okay, I see that we are playing bad. It's not good.
But it's very Christmas. Do you see what I see?
But there's still hope. And yeah, being Hayden being out now, Watt coming back, you know, that's good. But how does the COVID-19 affect him? Does he play okay? I don't know. We don't know. We won't know until they go onto the field. But having Watt back at least will pressure Lamar more than some of the other guys we have on the linebacker side.
Yeah, that's it. And I want to bring up Evan Giles because I've just pulled that up while you were talking there, Mark, as well. And it looks like Adam Schefter's reporting that Big Ben's told people that, particularly the teammates privately, that it's his final season. The tweet that I was just pulling up there, because this is broken in the last 10 to 20 minutes, apparently it's about not wanting to, assuming this is correct, assuming his sources are correct, this is all about not wanting to disrupt the Steelers' playoff push. I mean, look, I think that as soon as that comes into play, it's already going to be disruptive to that, or it's going to be something that's noteworthy. So, Mark, I mean, look, I'm going to let you go full steam into it and ask you a few questions, because I know that you're pretty keen, as you sort of kicked off this show around talking, that some of the fan base are just giving up. Well, let's start with the Big Ben stuff. If this is Big Ben's last season, why should the Steelers tune into the Ravens tomorrow? Is that another reason? You know, why should the Steelers really be giving up on this team?
It's really, if this is his last season, you know, you don't know what you have until it's gone, kind of mentality. Like, if this is Big Ben's last season, he's played 18 seasons, he's done so many things for us. As a fan base, as a to get behind our team, he's a two-time Super Bowl winner, he's been to three, countless division games. He's done everything. He's got, you know, most yards, he's the leader of this team, or you know, stat-wise. So, and a lot of people are saying, you know, bench Big Ben. But in reality of all things, if there's six games to go, what's the point in benching him now?
Yeah.
There's no point in what I see. There is no point to bench Big Ben right now. You know, you're better off.
And they're not going to bench Big Ben in his final season. Like, he's going to have two games of five interceptions. They're not benching Big Ben in his final season, assuming that it is.
The biggest thing I see is okay, yes, we, you know, a lot of fans get around and they say he didn't have an interception for five games and that was so great. And we were on the Big Ben train. And now it's like we had a really bad game where he threw two interceptions and we got beat down 41-10 by a good, angry, young Bengals side. And it feels like the world has been turned upside down, which I don't really agree with. You guys can call me crazy, and I'm more of a passionate fan than I am, like, you know, I guess, factual or realist of, like, this team, because I'll cheer anyone. If, Maddie, if you suited up behind quarterback, I'd cheer you on to play. I really would. I'd say, you know, give Maddie the number 10 jersey and let's go. And then finally Maddie's got his name on, you know, he's got a jersey. But I'm just saying.
I'd be number 9, mate. Boz would have to change his number. I'm not going to fight to it for his number.
Well, you, I don't know. You could. I'm just saying, look, as the way that I've grown up and watched this game and been behind this game, and I'm a big fan, and people, you know what, call me out if you want to, because I really don't care. I'm speaking to the real diehard fans who want to get on my train and really rally behind. We're 5-5-1. The Steelers are versing the Ravens. We beat the Ravens last year, 2 in a row. Lamar Jackson has thrown 4 interceptions last game. He's not the best quarterback. You watch him throw his passes on the outs. It goes over people's hands all the time. I don't think there is reason to give up at all. There is no reason. Now, if I'm wrong and we lose, well, we'll come back next week and we'll talk about something else. Do you see where I'm coming from?
But we come back next week and we give it another crack, right? Like, the Steelers can come back next week. They can give it another crack. Right. So, you know, that's going to be the.
All right. As Manny does a bit of a rain check here, I think his devices are not connected. So his Wi-Fi is just gone. But yeah, I'll continue my rant if I can. So, you know, listening, guys, this is a small little break. My name's Mark from Behind the Steel Curtain, where people come into the live chat. I don't mean to get on a big, massive rant. It's just the way that I watch this game, being a Steelers fan and having the opportunity with Behind the Steel Curtain, I just wish them full success every single game. It doesn't matter if they lose 5 in a row, 6 in a row, and we have a chance. You know, I, for one, being from my side, being a fan or being on this podcast, I never want to wish a tanking season. I never want to wish us to get go really bad and get the first draft pick. Because the number one thing is, I wait, and a lot of fans too, we wait all year. We wait 9 months. Well, me and Maddie, as Maddie comes back, we wait 9 to 10 months to come back and cheer our team on. I'm not going to give away the next 6 games to go to wait until April. This is really all I have. This is, like, to be very honest, is one of the best things in life that I have that I can cheer and support and get around. I'm not going to wait until April or next September to get that number one pick. And if we hope to get a new quarterback, there are new quarterbacks out there like the Jags guys, Zach Wilson, that aren't doing anything for their team. And these franchises are struggling. I just think it's a culture problem. Maddie, where'd you go?
I said my media hub is playing a bit like Devin Bush. It's going missing at the wrong points in time. So not good there. But anyway, hopefully it can stay on for the rest of the show there. So that's what happens when you tinker with the settings too much. Dog barking, it's all going nuts over here, just like the 41-10 loss last week. But speaking of the 41-10 loss last week, I'm sort of interested to know, how are you feeling after that game? Because obviously you've said you're back in the team no matter what. You've said you're pumped, not give up on the team. But how were you feeling 2 minutes after that game ended last week?
2 minutes? I'll be very honest. It was a bad game. It was a really, really bad game. We didn't run the ball at all, really. We didn't even try. Big Ben is having miscommunication problems with Claypool. And I would say, no one's really taking ownership on that route. He threw that interception and it was like, maybe it was more Big Ben being scared in that circumstance when he could have went to Claypool, down the sideline. The defense is just not there. They're not playing with any heart. There's no one really playing in the middle. Outside linebackers aren't doing anything. Yes, we've got a few sacks, but overall, 41-10, it's a bad loss. It really is a terrible, terrible loss. And I see that. I see that how we have no players, the skill might be lacking, or we have like depth guys filling in, getting burnt everywhere. Pierre got carved up on the outside. He got carved up too many times.
Mate, I'm done with. I had to interject there, man. I'm done with Pierre. The guy's a depth piece. If that in the NFL, done.
Well, he got carved up about 3 or 4 or 5 times. I would say that in every single route, and it felt like the same route. He played off coverage. He never got in the man's face. And then they completed the ball and it was like, 3rd and 13, and we got it the first down. It just kept happening over and over. We were never really in that game to begin with. And yes, that is a lot of critique from some fans who say, we don't get ready for these games. And I do see that. I do see how there is no heart and passion. I just think that they can change it around. And look, I can be completely wrong, but, the Ravens can go out there and stump us. But in this particular game, they're not the best side either.
So I'll ask you a question, Mark, that's sitting here for me. And I think there'd be some people that would probably be thinking about it as well. The last couple of years when the Steelers haven't done as well, kind of 2019 onwards, people have sat there and said we wasted, and I know the Scobos talked about the other week, but we wasted talent. Like, we never won a Super Bowl when we had AB and Lav Bell and some of those sorts of guys and that great O-line and all the rest of it. But do you think, because in some ways I sit there, I'm like, well, if they didn't win it, how can we expect this team to do that? Like, there's just been such a loss of talent, and like that defense is missing so many good players, and, there's such turnover. And this is the thing, this is the thing that I'm, you said to me before we went on air, and it was a really good point. This team aren't the Lions. They're not like 0-9-1 or 0-8-1 or whatever the Lions are now, right? And so I sort of sit there and I think, well, Would the fan base be happier if the Steelers were that way and we had the first round pick in the draft or the second pick or the third pick, a top five pick? Is that what we'd prefer? And I'm beginning to wonder, and I understand the business sense in it. Like, I'm going to sit here straight. I don't believe in tanking, but quite frankly, from a business perspective, and this isn't high school or junior school sport or whatever it is, where participation and learning the spirit of the game and sportsmanship are the key. It's a business, right? And you have a top pick and it puts you in a really good spot as a franchise if you get it right. So I understand the philosophy of tanking. Like, I do get it. But what I can't understand is that And I'm not saying that we should change our expectations or our standards. And I said it in War Room this week as well. Like, the standard is the standard. I'm sick of hearing that because they're not playing to the standard, right? The standard for this team is below the standard. That's what it is. But as what I'm trying to say here is that should we really be expecting, do we want them to do worse? Or should we stick with it and see if they can scrape in with a team that we know has limitations? You know, and I think about Super Bowls that this Steelers, you know, the Steelers have won in the course of their history where they've gone into the playoffs, you know, not as world beaters, not as the team that's going to win the Super Bowl, and that's had limitations, and they've come together and found a way to get it done. And I think that's what the fan base needs to decide, both individually and collectively, like which way are we going to look at it?
Man, I'm riding. I'll give you this analogy, okay? And this might only appeal to the one Australian fan that's listening, but I'll give this analogy. I'm riding the train, whatever direction it goes in. For me, I'm on the Central Coast. I can either go to Newcastle, which is north, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, north. Or I can go to Sydney, which is south. Now, either way you go to one of those cities, some would have different expectations and ideas to say which city is best, okay? So I'm riding it every single game to say the Steelers are going to win this game and hopefully we have a good playoff push like we did in 2016. We were 6-5 in 2016 and we went on to win, I think, the last six to go 11-5. Or the last five to go 11-5, right? And that was when I was in Canada and I watched that game, that 2016 team. Yes, they were a better team for sure, right? But they went on to the playoffs. They won the division. They ended up getting two wins and then they lost to the Patriots. And then that's the point we get to when we lose to the Patriots. Then the other side of the coin, you know, flips and someone catches and go, oh, we lost to the Patriots. We suck. We're terrible. Mike Tomlin sucks. Big Ben's too old. So I'm just getting to the point of like, can you win it both ways? You know, if you're following this team, I follow just to see what happens and I ride the emotions. But if you're jumping on, you know, like this team is terrible and you're going to check out, see you in April. I'll talk to you in April. But if you're gonna keep on the train, it's on the same train with me. Why do you keep pestering me? Do I need to, you know, follow the team and I want to have fun with this team, and I hope that they can win every single game.
Now, money where your mouth is was something that was a phrase we used a lot in our debut season last year. Bringing it back for this one, money where your mouth is, did the Steelers make the playoffs?
Yes.
Because
I would say if you can beat these divisional opponents and then go to, okay, divisional opponents at least, and then maybe one or two games, give them a chance for the seventh seed. We're only two games back out of the seventh seed. Okay. Now that was a hard question to ask. And that was a great question to ask, puts my passion on the pedestal and says, okay, what's really going to happen, Mark? I get that. But I still believe they can if things get around because they have Big Ben. And if this is his last ride, for sure. Don't count him out.
And, okay, if they miss the playoffs, do you think he comes back for another season? Do you think he's truly
going to miss the playoffs? You and I have talked about the Big Ben saga coming back and forth every single time. I don't know. That I can't answer. I really don't know if he's going to...
What's your gut feel? Or even not. What's your heart feel? What do you want in an ideal world?
I'll say this. I really can't answer it because I've answered that question, I think, three times and I've been wrong every single time. I thought he was done after the injury. I thought he was going to give it up after the injury. I thought that was it. I thought he was going. I thought, thanks, Ben. Thanks, mate, for your time. He comes back. And there was, you know, even I think maybe before that, I thought he was going to like play for four more years. He could play next year with a better team around him, build the O-line better like you've talked about. Get some more start, maybe a start, another receiver, get Juju back, get our defense back, get the heart and team back. And the only thing I would say that I find that why he would walk away would be the disconnect from the young players, if that makes any sense. He's 39 years old. The younger players are 22, 23. It's not like, you know, if we can go to the bars or whatever, like they're going out and having fun and doing their, you know, young people stuff where Big Ben's going home.
Well, and this is the you saw it this week with Big Ben talking about, you know, Dan Rooney, you know, and versus Art Rooney and, you know, what it was like, the music in the locker room and, you know, all the rest of it. And Dave brought it up and I was listening to that sort of you know, 20 minutes or so of that show having lunch. And he said exactly what I wanted someone to say. Big Ben came onto this team before we had Twitter, before we had smartphones. It's a completely different world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think about the world that's changed in the last 16 to 7 years. Before the GFC, you know, or like, it's just a million different things that we're talking about here, you know, that are incredible to see that difference. And it's like you say, Mark, but going back to the Steelers and their passion, and before I do that, I want to bring up Matt Quinn's comment in the live chat, because I understand his sentiment. I feel quite similar that, you know, it's not, the season's not over if they lose this week mathematically, but it's going to be really hard to overcome that loss, particularly it's a divisional opponent.
I agree with that.
But going back to what we're saying before about the Steelers and the heart of the team and the passion and the standard is the standard and all those sorts of things, and have they wasted talent and all the rest of it. How much of an impact do you think it's going to be when, if let's take it as, you know, assuming what Adam Schefter's tweeted out is correct, I'm not taking what Alex Cazora says, I'm taking what Adam Schefter says on Twitter, and he doesn't get it right all the time either. Most of the time he does. But if this is Big Ben's final season, how much of an impact do you think that's going to be next year on the standard is the standard and leading that locker room? You know, and who needs to step up? And we can't just say you're TJ Watts and you're Cameron Haywards, but who on this offense is going to step up? Because that's a very different offense.
You'll need to play physical football a bit like they need to play physical football now. You'll need the big fellas up front. You'll need the Dotson. You'll need the Kendrick Green, the center, Trey Turner. You'll need those fellas to have the identity of playing steel curtain football on the offensive side. They're just not. They're not pushing anyone. They're not making anyone fear. It's a good question. I don't know. That's the unknown of like who would fill in for Big Ben, and that's going to be, you know, probably 75% of our shows next year for everyone. You know, who's going to fill in for Big Ben? We don't know. Who do you think would fill in for Big Ben?
Yeah. So this is the thing. I think there's two guys that embody. And I know this seems very early to say it, but I think there is two guys that embody that hardworking Steelers culture, that grind at all costs, that just step up when it needs to be. And that's Najee and Freiermuth. I think those two guys that we've got, and I honestly, and I've said it, you know, when I do the rookie, focus on the rookies each week in War Room, talked about it a lot, but those two pieces, no matter what quarterback, we're probably going to go out and get a veteran in the offseason. Like, they're probably not going to rely on drafting a quarterback in this next draft. I hate to break it to everyone, but that's just the case. Like, Matt Corral at the moment is probably going to go number one. I know people are talking about Kenny Pickett and all the rest of it. Matt Corral is probably going to be the first quarterback taken off the board, and it's going to come, you know, around pick eight or even afterwards, right? So that quarterback's not sitting there. In fact, there's a guy that I've seen out of Boston College who's had a few injuries. Phil Yerkovic, who could return back into college next year, might be available in the following year. I like what he can do I think he's not supported by the right guys around him, for all those out there that like draft and college football. But you look at the pieces that Najee and Freiermuth are, they are going to make it easy for whatever quarterback comes in there, provided there's a good O-line. We just have to caveat, number one, the O-line's, you know, crap. You can't do anything. But to have Najee there, a hard worker, a grinder, someone who's experienced, someone that's got the right mental temperament, amazing talent, and the same as Freiermuth, they are massive linchpins, and they're going to have to lead. They are going to have to lead this team, and it is going to come down to guys like Dotson and what have you. But I think you've got Freiermuth who's going to lead in his play, and I think Najee, just the way he talks already, you know, you see him in those interviews, he commands the respect. But actually, it also makes me, and it leads me to the next question, that I wanted to ask you. Mike Tomlin's copped a lot of criticism. And for everyone listening as well on the audio and live right now, we will get into previewing the Ravens game specifically, and particularly in part two. But there's a lot of different storylines going on at the moment, so we wanted to grapple with those before we look, you know, focus in on the micro trends, you know, the micro focus of the Ravens game in the next sort of 36 hours. But the question I want to ask you was, you talked about the culture there, and we talked about changing players. I don't think Mike Tomlin should go. I hate that fire Tomlin crowd. I've given the Arsenal analogy all the time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google Arsenal's last, you know, major winning manager, Arsene Wenger, and you'll figure out what the analogy pretty quickly. But I do think there's going to have to be, and I'm not saying they change the coordinator, but they're going to have to make some changes on offense and defense from the coordinator perspective, or like some of the other coaches. Now, there's guys like Adrian Clem, who I think has actually done a good job, you know, but I think Terrell Austin's particularly good on the defensive side. Now, people might call me foolish for criticizing Keith Butler, and I know he's an incredible linebacker coach, but something's going to have to change in this locker room other than just Big Ben's going. Something's going to have to change. And well, there's got to be something fresh, because I don't think Tomlin's message is lost on the locker room, but Tomlin can't. There's a reason why you have coordinators and a number of coaches in professional sport, and Tomlin can't, you know, be responsible for making sure every player gets up each week, or you know, all you know, 70 plus people if you include the practice squad. It can't all be on Tomlin.
I kind of get this sense too with like players like TJ Watt, Cam, and maybe some of those leaders on the you know, the veteran side and the defense. Maybe they feel like they're limited with this playbook as well with the defense and the players. They do seem a little bit frustrated on what kind of schemes and things they're doing on the defense. They let up Joe Mixon have 170 yards on the ground. You can't be doing that. The Steelers defense right now has not bought into who they are, that steel mentality. Run down like Vince Williams on the quarterback on stuffing the run and doing those things like Lawrence Timmon, you know, did, or playing like fantastic role how William Gay used to play with us. You know, there are certain things in the Steelers defense that they're missing. You know, a lot of things, and Ryan Clark called him out big time. But you know, look out for Ryan Clark, because he's so you know, wishy washy. They'll go out and score 40 points this week and he'll be back on the bandwagon. I don't overly trust what Ryan Clark would say. Yes, he was a good player for us, but he called them out and said they're playing soft, they're playing bad defense. Yes, they are. But that's his take, right? But I think with this Steelers defense, or you know, mentality around the coordinators, something does need to change, because on both sides of the football, it does feel like they do seem very limited. Like with Big Ben checking down to Najee, like, you know, second and 10, and then they're not throwing the football past the sticks. They're doing the similar plays, and yes, they're working. But the record does say we're 5-5-1, so it's working 50% of the time, and it's not working the other time. They do need a spark. I don't think getting rid of Tomlin is the answer. If you get rid of Tomlin, we are like the Lions. We have someone coming in. Is it Dan Campbell? Is he the Lions guy? Is trying to fire him up? They're a bad franchise. You have the Jags. They're a bad franchise. I think Tomlin is the, you know, everything's it gives us a chance to win at the end of the day, being 500, right? So, and yes, some people don't like that, and we should win Super Bowls every single year. But the reality is, you can't win a Super Bowl every single year. It's not going to happen. Yes, we are due for one. We need one, but we need these players to step up and play that football. And you know, as a side note too, we're in a different world. You look at it now. Zach Banner's going on the Arthur Moat show. Chris Wormley's going on making his own show and doing little side projects. For you and I would say, why aren't they studying football? But it's a whole different world right now in what we live in with the Steelers. And, you know, you and I are two Australians talking football behind this steel curtain. So, you know what I'm saying? It's a very different world with this team. The young blokes, they're so young now, 22. I'm almost 32 coming up in a month. It's different. It's so different. But what I do miss as a Steelers fan, and I don't know what you think, I just miss just be competitive. And they're not being competitive.
That's it. I think you've hit the nail on the head here. I don't think it's about this team giving up on this team. It's the competitiveness that, you know, even in the wins we've had, it's the competitiveness. You know, I talk about it all the time. When was the last time we saw the Steelers rack up a massive score, right? It's the competitiveness of, like, putting someone to the sword. Yeah, exactly. I couldn't tell you. You know, I know a lot of stats. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But the thing that I always find funny as well, particularly in the last week, is you've seen these massive contracts in college football. Like, you've seen all the changes with, you know, Brian Kelly going to LSU, leaving Notre Dame, and you've seen Lincoln Riley leave Oklahoma, you know, and go to Oklahoma State and go to, you know, USC, which I think makes sense for him. And, you know, Matt Campbell got a massive contract in the offseason as well for Iowa. Mike Tomlin is making less money than those guys. So if people want to fire Tomlin, like at some point, Tomlin, I don't think he will. I think he wants to coach an NFL and that's it. And that's the pinnacle. But like, if I'm Mike Tomlin, if I'm going to cop this for a couple more years, like why wouldn't he go to college? Like 10 years, 160 mil. That's double what he's making. Like people don't know what you've got until it's gone. And if people are cotton on with that with Ben, like it's the same thing now. I just think it's a very interesting headspace that we're in right now. But I think what the other thing that you've hit on the head, Mark, as well, is it's this instant gratification part. And that's a difference in culture and in society now. People don't work to get things and to wait for things. Everyone's, how many likes have I got on Instagram? Or why can't I have this now? And, you know, I'm going to go into, and even look at like, you know, and everyone, in this, most people in this world have some sort of debt and what have you. But even like the idea of a credit card, 30 years ago, credit cards, you know, 40 years ago, credit cards didn't exist. If you couldn't afford it, you didn't have it. And I think the way society's changed with instant gratification, it's not something, I mean, you think back when the Steelers, before they won all those Super Bowls, before Chuck Knoll came on board, right? Like people were still rocking up in the Pittsburgh cold in the 60s to watch them play. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, it wasn't, you know, full to the brim every week. And I know it wasn't, but this is the difference as well, is we're very quick each week. Once one result, everyone's quick to just shift and jump on something. Is that what, like, if you're listening to these podcasts as well, we're kind of preaching to the converted, but if you're taking the time to tweet out in your personal time on Twitter about the Steelers or on Facebook or whatever other channel, or even to go to your local bar and, you know, and wear your jersey and talk about it, right? Surely you've got enough respect and love for the team to just back them even when the times are down. And people always, when you challenge it too, people sit there and go, oh, I don't know, like, I love my Steelers. I just want to see them do well. Well, let's put some positive energy out there, right? Now, I don't know. Most people probably don't believe in, you know, you're putting energy out and what you put out in the universe, you get back. But, God, well, at least we could put some, you know, put some positive, you know, juju out there. Like,
I think so. Like,
it's like a positive outlook on, like, is the glass empty all the time or is it full? Or you can look at it and go, ooh, you know, what's left in the glass of this season that we might be able to make something positive from it, you know? There's a great quote I saw this week was, it's not about whether the glass is, you know, full, empty, or can be refilled, like, you know, or either one of them. It's that it can be refilled.
That's good.
They've got a chance to refill the glass this week.
Or you're even holding the glass to begin with. Yeah. You know? At the end of the day, and I know we have talked about a lot of fans, but I think we had to get off our chest and to address it. It needed to be addressed because it seems like we are, oh my, what happened to, oh wow, let's go. But at the end of the day, we are supporters. And what do supporters do? You support your team. And for us bashing them and saying Big Ben stinks after the 17, 18 years he's given us, I don't agree with that at all. And this is really bar talk. This is you and I going over to America, having a few beverages and talking to, you know, guys in Pittsburgh and having bar talk and saying who is better. And we love that. We love that conversation. We really do. So maybe it needs to be more addressed in person than it does need to be on the social media aspect of sides. But, you know, it's not over. And it's not over with Big Ben. And he's done tremendous things. And he's, and, you know, or they haven't won in this many days. But it's still, you know, less than the Bengals. The Bengals haven't won in, 11,291 days. We're okay. We're okay.
And with that, we're going to take a break on Steelers Touch Down Under. I'm Matt Peverell with Marky D as always. Join us for part two. If you're on the live YouTube side and Facebook side, just stay with us for a sec. If you're on the audio side, flick over to part two. We're going to talk more about the Ravens, do a bit of audience Q&A, sling and slang as usual. And yeah, really looking forward to a great part two.